Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Greg. I appreciate that. I'm not sure if Brother Greg was a little unsure. Should he come through the door or come around the door to sing? And so I'm glad you made it up here all right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are nearing the end of this little study that we've been doing on having a heart for the harvest. We've been endeavoring to develop a heart for souls and see people the way that Jesus saw them. Now, when you go through the New Testament, you'll find several descriptions of what Jesus said about people. Jesus said that the fields were white unto harvest. He said they were as sheep having no shepherd. He said that because of what he saw, he was moved with compassion. And we are to be a people who are consistently giving the gospel as we go out into the community, as we live in this world. I heard about someone this week who said to me that when they were at the West Clinic, and one of our church members had passed out some tracts there and just was encouraging people that were in the waiting room. And that's always thrilling to my heart to hear about how that the people of God are out in the community and just sharing the gospel. It's not necessarily an organized time and nobody's twisting your arm to make you do it, but being involved about and reaching people for the cause of Christ, it makes a difference. Now, we've been working through this outline for several weeks, and I'm not going to take the time to go back through all those, the proclamation, the participation, the presentation, the presentation, and then we started a week or so ago, the room number 5, the propagation. How do we get the gospel out? Here's the great thing about the message that we share. The gospel doesn't change. Aren't you glad about that? But there is perhaps a different way to present the gospel to, say, maybe a 5-year-old than how you'd present the gospel to a 35-year-old. And we're to meet people where they are. You may meet somebody at work, or you may meet somebody in a different setting that perhaps will tune itself for you to maybe read a different passage or to have a different approach. And the message does not change. Please understand that we're not trying to water down the message. We're not trying to give a different message. We're just trying to meet people where they are. And so tonight, we're going to continue to build upon that and understand how we can be more prepared, understand how we can learn to try to reach people where they may be. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse number 5. If you're able to, let me invite you to stand. We'll read just a couple verses. They'll be kind of a springboard for us, and then we'll get into a few thoughts tonight. For who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. By the way, you can pause on verse number 7, and you can erase from your memory any preacher or any soul winner or any evangelist who believes that they are something without the Lord. None of us can do the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we ought to be soul winners, and I'll challenge you and encourage you in that, but make no mistake about it, it's God that does the work. I'm no more special than you are. It's God that does the work. Verse number 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's pretty sobering. God is going to reward you based on how you labor in his harvest field. So I wonder, do you have a heart for the harvest? Look at verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the passage of scripture that is here that really is a pointed passage of scripture that helps us recognize the necessity of us being involved in the work of the Great Commission. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and Lord, help us to recognize how that we can sharpen our ability and our desire to make a difference in people's lives. Thank you for what you'll do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Let me reiterate what I spoke about last time in this particular Roman numeral. Tonight, some of what we're going to do is going to be perhaps a teaching point. I want to take a little bit of time and just, it'll be a little informal, and I want to just give you a few thoughts and some tools and some resources. And when you came in this evening, if you came through the front doors, there's some materials out in the foyer that we're going to make available to you and want to share with you a little bit about those. But it'll be a little different tonight, a little bit informal, and give you a few notes you can jot down. I want to illustrate a few things, and perhaps we'll go away from here with a couple suggestions that'll be a help. If you've ever planted a garden, you know that in many ways, gardening takes a lot of effort and a lot of work, but it also is somewhat of a skill. It takes a knowledge of the seed that you're planting. It takes a knowledge of the soil that you're planting in. It takes patience on your part. It takes an attentiveness to the place where you've planted. It takes some diligence to stay by it. But any garden requires some things that really only God can give fully, and that is, it takes the sun and it takes water or rain. You say, well, preacher, I can water my garden with a garden hose, and that's well and true, and you can do that. But if you've ever gardens, you know that your garden doesn't grow near as well with your chlorinated water out of your tap as what it does with the rainwater from heaven that God gives. And only God can bring that kind of a yield and that kind of an increase. And in many ways, winning souls and reaching people is very similar to gardening. As we go out into the community, we plant seeds of the gospel. But ultimately, as we read about just a moment ago, we are dependent upon the Holy Ghost of God. We are resting upon Him to guide us, Him to do the work in the heart, Him to strengthen and speak to hearts, and yea, win people to the Lord. There are some skills or some thoughts or some knowledge that we can take of Scripture that we can develop, and some preparations that perhaps they'll influence whether we'll see a harvest or not. And by all means, I think we ought to make every preparation that we possibly can. And we ought to be prepared, and we ought to know the gospel, and we ought to give the gospel. You understand that if a gardener never plants seeds, he'll never gather a harvest. It was an amazing thing. I've planted a garden for many years in my home, and I enjoy it. I have a great time doing it. I love the harvest time of it. But I was a little baffled this year. I didn't get any yield out of my garden. Not a bit. And one of the reasons for that is I didn't plant a garden. Go figure. In fact, I didn't even set a tiller into the ground. I didn't turn the ground over. All we did was mow the garden. And I suppose I could be upset about the fact, well, how come the people across the street got something out of their garden? I didn't get anything out of my garden. Now, wait a minute. If I don't ever plant seeds, how do I expect to have a garden? And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't ever give the gospel, how do you expect to win souls? If you're not active in giving out the Word of God, if you are not active and personally trying to give the gospel, then you won't personally lead people to Christ. And don't you bemoan those that do and those that have a harvest, and don't throw stones at those that do and try to criticize those that do if you're not willing to do the work and to spread the seed of the gospel like the Bible speaks about. Just as a gardener would develop knowledge and skill in regards to how am I going to plant, what am I going to plant, when am I going to plant, where am I going to plant, so you and I as soul winners, we should begin to develop as we're in the Word of God, how can I better share my faith with those around me? I don't know any Christian who is wanting to serve God and wanting to be in the will of God that doesn't want to communicate their faith with others. If that doesn't describe you, then my friend, you have you're either not saved or you have a serious heart problem. Every born-again child of God would want to communicate their faith with those that they come in contact with and those that are around them. And so the question becomes, how can I better do that in order to yield more fruit to make a difference? You realize anybody can clear land and run a tiller maybe and throw some seeds, but not everybody can grow a great garden. Anybody can go out and scatter a few seeds out in their yard and maybe a few things will come up here and there. But if you're going to prepare the soil and you cultivate the soil and you put forth the effort and you really do the work, generally, you're going to have a more full harvest and a better harvest. And that if that be true, and by the way, it is certainly true in the physical realm. It's most definitely true in the spiritual realm. If I want to yield a harvest and see souls saved, then I should prepare and recognize the vast responsibility that we have to get the gospel to those who are in the community. We ultimately depend on the Holy Ghost of God. And I don't know about you, but I like that. It's always an encouragement to me to come back to this passage and be able to rest my head on my pillow at night and say, as I've given the Word of God in a Sunday morning message or in a Thursday night soul winning, I've done my duty and I've given the Word of God and I've been obedient. It's the Holy Ghost job to do the rest. If we were resting on the fruit of the preacher, I'm going to tell you, we'd all be discouraged. If we were resting on the fruit that you would have, we'd be discouraged. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to do the work and to make a difference. But there are some things that you and I can do. There are some ways that we can get involved that can help us be more fruitful. And I just want to say, just want to express that the heart of me sharing and putting together these outlines that are instructive, it's my goal to share with you the magnitude of the responsibility that we get into the community and we reach people and we begin to develop a cohesive spirit that we would work together for the cause of Christ. That's my goal. And so we put together some ways, and I think we've started a couple of these, but number one was the workmanship visit. And I gave this to you a week or so ago in the services, but we talked about the outreach packets that we have and the CIA ministry, and these are things that we do annually, some of them at different times and more times than once a year and whatever the case may be. But these are specific outreaches where we can, by the scores and hundreds and yea, even thousands, we can get the gospel out, we can get it out quickly, we can get it into the hands of a vast number of people that we might not be able to reach in other ways. And so we talked a little bit about that. The second one was the stewardship visit. And the stewardship visit, we drew some parallels about us being stewards of the gospel, and we're to go out into the community two by two and to confront people with the good news of the gospel. Now, I am not ashamed at all. You may be, and that's fine, and that's well and good, and you show me in the Scripture where you're right and I'm wrong, and I'll be glad to change my tune. But I am not the least bit ashamed to confront somebody about whether or not they know for sure they're going to heaven. There's a philosophy out there today, yea, even preached in our Baptist churches, that you shouldn't confront somebody about their eternity. Well, my friend, Jesus did. All through the Scripture. And I'm not saying you have to be brash or arrogant or overbearing, but I do think that as Bible believers, we should be concerned about others. And so we're to be stewards of the gospel. Now, thirdly, tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about what I've entitled the friendship visit. The friendship visit. You say, preacher, what is a friendship visit? Well, I'm really glad you asked because I was wanting to tell you about it. Every month, we work with local real estate offices and we acquire a listing of those who have recently moved into the area. We've called them new movers. We've called them all kinds of different things. And maybe they've moved from another community. Maybe they're new to the area. Maybe they've relocated across town. Maybe it's somebody that's refinanced their mortgage and their name has somehow gotten onto this list. But it's another avenue for us to get into the community and to be able to reach people where they are. Now, why would we put effort and emphasis into that? What is the purpose of a visit like this? Well, number one, it's to see if they're a believer or not. It's to find out, do they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And if not, can we have the opportunity to share the gospel with them? But number two, we want to find out if they are new to the area, do they need a church home? Are they looking for a place where they can go and worship? Are they looking for a place where they can join a church? We want to introduce ourselves. We want to try to encourage them that, hey, there's a church in your neighborhood. We want to be on your list, and we want you to come and visit. And there are some men in this room and ladies in particular who have made these kind of visits for years, and they've had all kinds of opportunity to minister and reach people, and I've heard people use all kinds of nice, great segues into a conversation. Do you have a church home? No, we just moved to the area. Well, you got a church home now because we're here to visit you. You know, and that's all fine and well and good, and I don't have any problem with any of that, but I want to tell you, we ought to get to them before the Jehovah's Witnesses and other groups do. We want to try to reach them and make a difference, and I've called this a friendship visit for a specific reason. Now, we put those, and you're not going to be able to see all of these images, and I understand that, and that's fine, but we've put these, every month we go through, we take the names if we have them, we don't always, we take the addresses, and they are grouped by the area in which they lived, and they are put on a card like this with the address, and it has a date on it when that contact, when that move has taken place. And so we're able to look at that card and we're able to say that, hey, in August these people have moved to the area, and a couple months later we recognize, you know, it's been 2 or 3 months, they've moved to the area and nobody's gone by to visit them. And it helps us to be able to recognize that we're not getting into the community in a former fashion, perhaps in a way that we ought to do better. Here's the reason why I've called it a friendship visit, because we want to make a connection with them and let them know that we're in the neighborhood and that they have a friend in you or in the church. And if they ever need anything, we want to be able to leave that impression with them so that we can be an encouragement. I'm going to tell you this, if somebody really truly is new to the area, which it's pretty rare that we find that in the Mid-South Memphis region. Usually they've moved here because they have family here, because of some other relationship, but every so often you find somebody who knows nobody, they just moved here. And I'm going to promise you, there's going to come a day when they're going to need a friend. There's going to come a day when they're going to be looking for someone that they can count on, someone that they can rely upon, and we want to visit them just as if we would our neighbors, because one day when they need that friend as a new family or as a new neighbor, whatever the case may be, perhaps it'll be that the Holy Ghost of God will impress upon their heart, well, there's some folks for that church down the road there, and they came by and they were so kind, perhaps I should go visit them, and maybe I can be a blessing there, or maybe they can be a blessing to me. And so I have entitled this a friendship visit. Now, I would use a similar approach as what we talked about last week. Brother Saxton, would you come up here and help me if you would? I want to illustrate, maybe just a time or two. We illustrated some things with this last time, but if you were to make a visit like this, it would be similar to what we talked about. You'll just stay here. I'll knock on your door in a minute. That's fine. Come on up here. I'll knock on the door in just a minute. But I want to introduce myself. I want to invite them to the church. I want to inquire about who they are. I want to involve them. These are all things that should be in your notes from the last time, and it's going to be a similar approach to me just saying, hey, I know that you're new in the area, or we want to just invite you, or whatever the case may be. You don't have to be nervous or overwhelmed with how do I bridge the connection that they're new in the neighborhood, and maybe they're not new, and you don't have to worry about any of that. Our job is to sow the seed of the gospel. And I think sometimes we get hung up on or formality of how do I make a visit, when really God just wants us to show them that we care. God just wants us to put the gospel in their hand. And so if I were to make, I've got a card here. The card says that, well, so-and-so moved to the area back in August 17th of 2017. And I can see there's still some boxes in the garage there. And I can see that they're still moving in. And so I'm going to make a visit. Hey, I'm Pastor Nep Shield. I'm from Clearview Baptist Church, and just wanted to come by and say, hey, and look like maybe you guys are you new to the area? Have you just moved here?
Moved from Canada.
Moved from Canada. All right. Praise the Lord. Welcome south. Glad that you're here. And I just wanted to invite you. Did you used to go to church where you came from? Or?
No, sir.
No? All right. Okay, great. All of a sudden, you're not from Canada anymore, are you? great. We're just down the road. We're at Goodman and Getwell. And you may not be real familiar with the area yet, but the church is real easy to find, and you can find it on Google Maps. But if you know the intersection there of Google and of Google and Android, you'll find us. If you know the intersection of Goodman and Getwell, some of you didn't catch that, but I did. You'll find us, but let me encourage you to come by and visit with us. We'd love to be a help to you, and I know maybe you're still moving in. It may take you a little bit, but please don't forget about us. Keep that card. It's got our information. Could I ask you this? You didn't really go to church much, or you did. How faithful were you?
No, sir, never went to church.
Never really went. Have you thought much about eternity? Do you have any concern about what's going to happen when you die?
You know, I'll probably cross that bridge when I get there.
Okay. Well, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and all of us have to consider that. And I could stand here all night and have a conversation with him. Let me have my track back. Don't go anywhere. Shut that door. But you see, we just want to make a connection. It doesn't have to be difficult. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be lengthy. We want to make a connection. And I'm going to tell you, anybody can do that. Now, I don't care if it's a teenager or an adult. Anybody, especially if it's somebody in your neighborhood, well, I just live right around the street here, anybody can make that kind of visit. Let me illustrate another one. Hey, my name's Pastor Nepshield. I pastor Clearview Baptist Church. I actually live just two streets over. It looks like we're close here in the neighborhood, and I noticed that if you guys just moved in, or have you been here a little while, or...
Just a few months.
Awesome. And I just want to let you know, I just live around the corner here. If I can help you, if my family can help you. But I really wanted to invite you to church. I'd love for you to come by and visit with us. And look, anybody can make that kind of a visit. They live right around the corner from you. There's no reason why you ought not be neighborly to your neighbors. You say, well, preacher, I don't like my neighbors. Well, we don't have time to preach about that tonight. That's a different sermon. Let me have that track. You can sit down. And I can illustrate all kinds of different things with that, but my point is that we ought to be concerned about, sometimes when the preacher says soul winning and visitation, we get so one-track minded that we miss the opportunity to get out into the community at large and try to reach people. And I don't know. I wouldn't point out. There's some people in here that live in Marshall County. There's some people that live, some people who are members of our church that live in Memphis, people that live in Walls. And we're represented in many counties and a lot of different cities around. Some of you have large tracts of land, and you don't have a whole lot of neighbors. Some of you live in a very close subdivision. And again, the perspective is different, but everybody can reach people where you are. And if you are truly concerned and you're really desirous to have a heart for the harvest, then you'll pay close attention to those that are in your neighborhood and those that are around you so that you can get out and you can sow seeds of the gospel. Now, I've lived in my house for 10 years. I don't have but 6 homes on my street. It's not real hard to figure it out. It's not real hard to know which one's the preacher's home. Everybody knows where the preacher lives. And it's a little bit different maybe in your neighborhood than what it is in my neighborhood. But I can tell you this, I've knocked on every door on my street more than once to try to witness to my neighbors. Many of the neighbors, and there's only 6 on my particular street, many of them have sat in this auditorium and they've heard me preach the Word of God. And I don't mean this in any wrong spirit, and you take it the way you want to, but can I ask you how many of your neighbors have been in church? It doesn't count for Brother Glenn and the Clarks and the Mabes because they live right beside each other. But how many people are we reaching right around? Now, they may not come. I wish I could give you a promise that says, well, if you talk to your neighbors, then they're going to show up. I wish I could say that. But I want to tell you this. There was a day in our communities and in the book of Acts when people went to their neighbors or their friends and they expressed their faith to them. They went out into the community and they made a difference. Can I ask you a question tonight? How many of your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Well, probably a lot of them do, preacher, because they see me pull out of the driveway on Sunday, and that's wonderful, and that's great. But can I ask you, do they know where you go to church? Do they know that your faith is real? And do they know about your faith? And are we making a difference? And are we reaching those who have moved into our area? And are we befriending those who are in our communities? It's not an accident that you live where you live. It's not an accident that you're in the community that you're in. This preacher can't go to every neighborhood, and I can't go to every one of your neighbors, but I do know this, that as the body of Christ is out into the community, and we are spread abroad, and we are sharing our faith with the community, then we effectively can reach our towns with the gospel. And it makes a difference when the people of God are willing to get out into the community and to share their faith. Now, sadly, there are very few Christians who proactively engage their neighbors for the gospel's sake. Very few Christians, and you take it for what it's worth, but very few Christians have confronted their neighbors about eternity. And I just got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is a fault that will lay at our feet. I have neighbors that I know are lost. I have no doubt in my mind that they're lost. I have some that I know are saved. I have no doubt that I know they're saved. And I don't want to stand before God one day and to have blood on my hands for not trying to give the gospel to them. And do you realize that if everybody would just simply endeavor to do their part, we can make a difference? Now, there are challenges that we face. In DeSoto County, we have people moving into DeSoto County faster than what we can keep up with. They move, and some of them move more than once, and there's all kinds of different reasons for that. But the truth of the matter is, when you talk about this kind of visit in particular, just to be frank, very few Christians, very few of the body of Christ are willing to get involved in order to reach their neighbors. So, we want to be a help to you. You came in tonight, you saw a couple tables out in the foyer, there's tracks and there's materials out there, and we have divided and subdivided the neighborhood that you live in. And we have pulled together, with the help of these real estate companies, there are on the table when you leave, there will probably be, for most people represented, there will be a card or several cards with your name on it, the people who have moved into your neighborhood that are new there. Now, you don't have to take them. That's fine. Nobody's going to stand behind the table and force you to do that. But if you are interested in trying to make a difference in your neighborhood, you'll find those cards that are next door to you. And over the course of the next couple weeks, I want to challenge you that you will purposely go by that home. The address will be on it. Knock on that door. Introduce yourself. Invite them to church. And let God do the rest. There's some tracts out there that we've had specially printed up. We've used these in the past. They're entitled, Everybody Needs a Home. Well, if they've just bought a new home, they know about that. But everybody needs a church home, too. And it's got the gospel in it, and it's very simple, straightforward. It's got our service times, and I would encourage you to get that. There are some other resources out there I'll talk about in just a moment, but we've put these together in order to be a help, and I want to tell you, if you'll get involved, you'll be surprised at how God will bless that and how the Lord will work, and that leads us to the next visit, which is number four, the relationship visit. Now, come back and revisit that. It looks like that shot over many of your heads, and that's fine. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But number four is the relationship visit. Now, this is one that I have termed, there's a particular individual who has shown interest in the church. They visited the church, and maybe we would call them a prospect or somebody who perhaps we can reach and influence even more. And so we want to develop a relationship with them. Do you realize that some people you meet, they will trust Christ the very first time you witness to them? But many people, you need to develop a relationship with them. They need to learn to trust you, and you need to get to know them, and so you want to endeavor to try to reach them and cultivate a relationship. In John chapter 4, Jesus told the disciples that they would go and they would reap a harvest of fruit that they didn't have anything to do with, and there would be others that would come along, and they would reap a harvest of seeds that the disciples sowed, and it was a going and a going and a going process of reaching and giving the gospel, and sometimes times, just as Paul said, one man plants and one man waters, but God gives the increase. And so as we develop a relationship with people, there may be multiple times of planting the seed of the gospel. There may be multiple times of watering the gospel and going back and nurturing a relationship and trying to develop that relationship. Some of you have worked with the same people for years. And for the years of working with them, you've been planting seeds of the gospel. And you've been planting, and some days you've watered, and some days you've had to go back and plant again, and you are praying and looking for God to give a harvest where you can see your dad get saved, or your mom get saved, or your coworker get saved. And it's this type of relationship that sometimes is the best way to see people saved. Now, from a local church standpoint, the best way that I know how to remain diligent in trying to reach people is to keep a prospect list. Now, this is a little different. I told you that earlier. Every Sunday in my pocket, some of you know this, some of you don't, I carry a prospect list. Been doing this for years. I have them all the way back to probably about the year 2010 or so. Some of you, your name is on this list. And it's been crossed off because I don't like you anymore. No. It's been crossed off because maybe you've been saved, or maybe it was that you needed to join the church, or whatever the case may be. This particular page right here is dated 11/2/2014. And I've kept this book for years, and I have names written in here that people we've tried to reach and people we've tried to encourage. Now, I'm not saying you have to do it this way, but there have been numerous times that I've written a name down, and I've gone to visit someone, and I've gone back to contact them, and over the process of that building line upon line and planting the seed and watering the seed, there have been more times that I could count in this book that I've seen someone saved, baptized, join the church, and even discipled. And I want to tell you, that didn't happen by accident. It happened on purpose. Because I just decided, though it may be few, and it may be one, and it may be two, for me, the best way I know how to keep track of that is to, on purpose, decide that I'm going to do what I can, according to the Word of God, and according to what Paul said, to plant the seed of the gospel, and to go and to make a visit, and to make a friend, and develop a relationship. And many times, God has used that to grow in someone's heart. The goal of this type of visit is the same as it would be with many others. Number one, we want to make sure that they're saved. Now, many times people will visit the church who are born again. And if they are saved, then I want to connect them with the local church, and the ultimate goal is that they would grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and they'd be discipled. On the table when you leave tonight, there are some prospect cards that some folks, we've printed these in years past, some folks use them, some folks don't, but this is an example of a prospect card. They're on the table out there. It's a place for you to put the name and the address, some contact information. And then there's a place here where it says point of contact. That would be where you met them. Maybe you met them at Kroger. Maybe it's your family member, and maybe it's somebody that showed up at church, or whatever the case may be. And on the far side, there's a place where you can keep record of when you called them, when you dropped them a note in the mail, how many times you've been by their house, and you're able to see progress and keep a real prospect list and be able to make a difference. Now, you can do it a different way, and that's fine, and that's all well and good, but I promise you, if you will begin to become serious about having a heart for the harvest, now you can argue all you want to, and you can say, well, preacher, I don't have to do any of that, then fine. Show me where your list is, and let me see your fruit. Because the truth of the matter is, the answer for most people is, it doesn't exist. And I'm just saying tonight that if we believe the Word of God and we believe the heart of Jesus, then we'll have to get serious and get busy about reaching people for the cause of Christ. This isn't difficult. There's nothing difficult about this. It's simple work, and it's simple names and watching people grow, and it could be a coworker, it could be a business contact, could be a client, could be somebody that you've met at a gas station who works the same place every week, or somebody at the bank, or a vendor, could be one of your children. It could be anybody that is on that list that God is using you, and God's using the local church, and together the Holy Ghost of God is stirring, and you don't want to lose that opportunity to make a difference in their life. It pains me as a preacher, as a pastor. I get passionate about this subject, but it pains me when people come to the church and we are what you would say a good prospect. And as a church family, we don't steward that effectively. You say, well, preacher, why is that? Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelt. The pastor can't follow up every prospect. Now, I try to. And I visit every week religiously and faithfully. But listen to me, and listen to me well. One of the reasons why church growth in the United States of America is so slow today is because usually the only people that have prospect lists are people that are staff members that are required to do it. Do you know when I read Acts chapter 2, I don't find that. I don't find where Peter got them together and required that they would write down people's names. But I find a people who had a heart to reach others. And can I just share with you, ladies and gentlemen, imagine what would happen in our community and with the people that you work with if all the people of God just got serious about making a difference in people's life. Look, what would happen if you just decided that this year, in the year 2017, I'm going to start a list, and by the end of the year, I want to see at least one person saved, baptized, and added to the church. Our church would expand faster than we could keep up with. But sadly, there's not enough people who are really that interested in it. I can show you my list. I can show you those that I'm trying to reach. What about you? Well, preacher, I work a full-time job and I work 40, 60, 70 hours a week. Welcome to the club. So do the rest of us. And your excuses don't fly well with this preacher. You got a young preacher that works a lot of hours too. Everybody okay? Everybody getting real nervous now? I mean, we've come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't simply obey the Bible. And I don't care what you write it down on. I don't care if it's a 3x5 card in your pocket. I don't care if you make a spreadsheet over it. There's a lot of people that work in our office that love to make spreadsheets for everything. I don't care how you do it. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me what you're, if you have a booklet. I don't care about that. But I do care that you care about people. And if we are willing to get out of the community, we can make a difference for the cause of Christ. When we reach people and we connect them with the gospel, then God uses us to grow people and we can build relationships and the work of God begins to be blessed. Let me show you the last one. Here's the blue picture there is a picture of what a prospect card would look like. Somebody who's visited the church and they said, wow, it's a good church. I enjoyed the preaching. I think I'll come back to that service. You understand that the pastor can't always follow up with all of those. And other people have to get involved in the work of the ministry. Number five is the membership visit. The membership visit. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, the Bible says that they were saved, baptized, and added to the church. Now, over the years, we've developed all kinds of resources to help us do outreach. We have tracts, we have baptismal brochures, we have decision packets, we have all kinds of different things. I showed you the prospect card a moment ago. There's a new resource that we printed this week out there, and it's very simple, it's very straightforward. It's a two-sided card that just has six or seven things about how to accept Christ as Savior. In other words, it's a great cheat sheet for you. You can take that, and it says, first of all, you need to be saved. Second of all, you need to recognize there's a penalty for sin. Third, you can't save yourself. It's a great little resource for you. They're on the table when you leave. Take some of those. It even has a sinner's prayer on here. You say, preacher, I don't know what to tell people to do. It says, if you believe that, then pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner, but you died on the cross to pay for my... It's all in this card. Maybe it helped you, maybe it won't, that's fine. But it's a resource that's out there. We've developed those to try to help us through the years to start relationships, build relationships, and help people connect to the church. The membership book is a specific kind of visit and a specific piece of material to help connect people to the local church. Now, there are people in this room who you're not a member of the church. There's some of you who've been members longer than I've been here. You're charter members or whatever the case may be. But by and large, 90% of you have received one of these. You know what it's about. You know what the information is here. But this is someone who is interested in joining the church, interested in getting involved and getting engaged in the work of the ministry. And by the way, it is right for people to join a church and get involved in the local church. We still believe that, don't we? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, the Bible says that we're to come together, and so much the more so as we see the day approaching. And we're living in a generation where a lot of people say, well, church membership doesn't matter. You really don't have to worry about being a member of a church, and it's really not that big of a deal. Well, it seems like it's a big deal in the Bible. And the Bible says that you ought to be faithful, and you ought to give, and you ought to be a servant. And so there's a little booklet that we put together, and I won't take the time to go through all that, but talks about our doctrinal statement, talks about our church constitution. There are some things in here about how the church operates, and it lets you know what kind of church we are. Then there's a specific section that talks about why we're a Baptist church and why we're an independent Baptist church, and we're not ashamed of the fact that there is no higher authority over the local church. I'm glad about that still. Some people are angry about it. Some people get upset about it, but I'm sure glad that in this church in particular, we don't have to worry about whether there's a higher structure over the church. And by the way, let me tell you how that plays out. I got a visit this week from someone from a state office in Jackson, Mississippi. And they were inquiring about some things, and they had some very difficult documentation that they wanted to work through. And they said, we need to know the name of those who are in authority over the church. And I said, well, you'll have to talk to Jesus. But I didn't have to give them the name and number of some higher office, because we are a church that is constituted together, operating on the Word of God with Jesus Christ as our head. I'm not ashamed of that. And by the end of the meeting, they said, well, if this is all we need to do, this is the only person we need to talk to, looks like everything's in order here. Have a great day. By the way, just for the record, after a somewhat confrontational meeting, I said to them, do you mind if I pray with you? It's a great big guy and a lady, and he kind of looked at me, and he said, well. And I said, well, that offends you? And he said, I don't guess so. And I bowed my head, and I said, Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we serve you here. And I pray that, and I called their names that I saw as they gave me their business cards earlier. I called them by name, and I prayed for them. And I said, Lord, as they do your work across the state of Mississippi, I pray that you'll bless them and guide them and help them to do right. And off on their merry way they went. Now, they may come back tomorrow. I don't know. I'm giving them Brother Galleon's number next time. But I'm not ashamed of the fact that we are a church that operates on the Word of God. And all that's in a booklet that we put together. There's nothing spiritual or miraculous about it. It is an informative piece of material that helps a person understand this is the kind of church that you are planning to be a part of, and how you can get involved and how you can serve in the local church. It talks about, how do you join the church? Well, you got to be saved and baptized. Praise God for the fact that we're not ashamed that you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need to make profession, public profession, baptism by immersion to be a member of the church. It's all laid out for us, and you've read the book, you've seen it, you understand that, you've known that for many, many years, and that helps us understand how that we can go through the entire process of meeting someone, getting them saved, getting them baptized, and getting them added to the church. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and growing them in the Lord. Now, not everybody, and please don't take this the wrong way, is prepared to make this kind of visit. I would encourage you, by the way, that's why these resources are not on the table out there. You're probably not going to take a stack of these soul winning and visit people the first time and say, we're in your neighborhood, here, read this and join our church. It doesn't work that way. But I would say this, imagine what would happen if all parts of the church body worked together to reach our community. I know what will happen. We'll see people saved, baptized, and added to the church. By the way, you have seen fruit of that over and over and over. You can take this the wrong way, and that's fine. I meet it with a spirit of humility. But the pastor should not be the only person that gets people in the baptismal waters. By the way, we saw it this morning. Miss Donna trusted Christ yesterday. This morning she got baptized. That's a Bible pattern. And that happened because someone cared enough to go to Miss Donna's house. and share the gospel. It's not hard. It's just obedience. And I wonder what would happen if all the people of God decided, I'm going to get involved in reaching people. Imagine the difference we could make in the community. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the simple challenge. And Lord, may we please take it to heart with the right spirit. I pray that any words that I have spoken, Lord, would be received. God, not for a preacher to get any glory, but only that you would get the glory. And oh Lord, burden, I pray, and impress upon us tonight that we would be willing to do the work of the gospel. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. To be honest with you, I don't